2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome to the DFS Army's NBA Breakdown, brought to you by Fantasy Draft, the home of rake-free daily fantasy sports. I'm Cash Keg, and today we'll be going over the seven-game slate on this Monday. Using Fantasy Draft for lineup construction, talk some injuries, talk some plays, maybe some leverage plays that we can see. I know it's early in the morning. We'll get a bunch of news here before lock, but just a first look. Before that, if you're not following me on Twitch, please give me a follow on Twitch. Turn on those notifications so you know when I go live. Also, if you're not a member of DFS Army, then please sign up with the link below or in chat using promo code Twitch and save yourself 20% off your lifetime membership. And that includes all sports. We've still got XFL going, PGA, MMA, NASCAR's in full swing, and everything in between. We get you everything. With that, man, we had a good night in the NBA. Sundays have been really good to us. Which is odd because there's a lot of news, but had some big winners. 20K, Bernsey hit for 12K. I did pretty good myself. I had 8K. A couple days ago, we had someone take down the massive $2,000 entry for 200K. So it's been a pretty nice run here for DFS Army NBA, and we're not going to slow down here. But yeah, lots of injury news to get to. One of the things I saw on today's slate that was a little strange for me, and I was kind of curious why, we have a 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time start time, but the last game starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So we'll be over early tonight. And I kind of like that for a seven gamer. We usually always have a game on the West Coast, but, it's pretty strange to have the last game start at 8:30. So, that's kind of a fun slate, but, yeah, let's head on over here and, talk a little bit of basketball, a little bit of injuries, see what's going on. All right. The big thing, injuries. Lillard is still out. So McCollum's going to be taking all the shots against Orlando. He's still a great play. Just, you know, plug and play that guy unless it's an extremely tough matchup, and I don't see it here. So McCollum's definitely in play. The big one here, though, is actually for the Spurs. Jakob Poeltl got hurt last game. I know he burned a lot of people. He's really high owned. He is out. Hurt his knee, MCL sprain. And LaMarcus Aldridge is doubtful. He has been out for a couple games, and that's what put Poeltl in play the other day. With the size of Indy, with Turner and Sabonis, they're going to have to go big here. So Trey Lyles is probably going to see all the minutes he can freaking handle. Indy's a tough matchup. If it gets out of control, I think Lyles still sees minutes. And then we got guys like Eubanks. He's going to see some minutes as well. And if it goes in a blowout, then he's probably going to see more run. And then Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay is going to have to play a lot as well. But if for some reason this game got a little bit out of control, Gay would be the first one I think that they would just say, okay, We'll live to fight another day. And again, DeMar DeRozan's going to pick up all the slack there for scoring. It's just a really tough matchup against Indy here. Luka Doncic, he was out yesterday. He's questionable today up against Chicago. If he plays, I mean, he's just too cheap. You know, he should just crush Chicago. Not worried about that at all. If he does sit, then we know we just fire up the unicorn there. And play all the Porzingis again, and then it'll put Curry in play. JJ Barea will be in play again, but I kind of think Luka's going to play, but we'll see. Chris Middleton, he's questionable. Got an issue with a sore neck. He was out yesterday. Middleton put up a 40-20 game, which is insane. It's against Miami, not a great matchup, but if Middleton would be out, you know, Giannis is Giannis. He's matchup proof. I would just fire him up there. Porzingis is questionable here for rest. He could sit on this back to back. I talked about Luka. I think Luka plays and maybe they rest Porzingis, but if both of those guys sit, we're just going to have so much value with Dallas where you can just load up on value on Dallas. So definitely make sure you check Slack out and the breaking news that we have because it's going to dictate the slate with those two guys. Cam Reddish, he is questionable. This is a game that should be fun, Atlanta and Memphis. So if Reddish sits, I still think Hunter is just going to keep putting up good numbers. So he's a guy that I like regardless, but it just solidifies that fact even more if Reddish sits. Deadman's out. He's got a bad elbow. So is Clint Capella. He hasn't played since he got traded to Atlanta. Not really too excited about anything there for Atlanta anyways in the center position. I think it just Joval should be able to dominate that center position. So I'm more like that side on the Memphis side than any center for Atlanta besides maybe, you know, looking at Collins a little bit. Garland is out for Cleveland. So Sexton's going to get a lot of run, but that also just solidifies the minutes for Porter Jr. And he's been turning up lately. Jared Jackson's still out. Again, it's Memphis, you know, maybe in this faster pace, you know, matchup, maybe we get, I don't know. I don't think he's going to move the needle enough for me to play Dang or you know, Josh Jackson at all on this slate. So just kind of staying away from it. Tristan Thompson is out. We did see Drummond come in and play a ton of minutes this last game that it happened that he was out. So we could see a ton of Drummond here. And it's a tough matchup against Utah, but they're going to need that size anyways against Gobert. So on a slate like this, I don't mind playing some Drummond. Like I said, Brandon Clark's still out. So again, we're just going to get more Josh Jackson there. And everything else is not really too newsworthy. We got to look at Otto Porter. He's questionable. He might come back and play. That would kind of screw up Chicago a little bit. So we got to keep our eye on that one. Dennis Smith Jr. is still in the concussion protocol. So he's not going to play. So that just means more minutes for Elf. I don't think Frankie Nicotine's on the injury report. No, so he's going to back him up. But I like Elf in this matchup against Houston regardless. And that's about it. I mean, the big one for me that we really have to, you know, be on top of is the Dallas news with Luka and Porzingis. And then again, we're going to have tons of value with the Spurs in their front court because they're just extremely thin right now. So, yeah, let's jump right into this thing, man. Jazz and the Cavaliers. This game is sitting at a 219 over-under. Jazz favored by 9.5. We talked a little bit about like Tristan Thompson being out. So that's going to solidify the minutes for Drummond. 14-3. I think that's a fair price for him over here on Fantasy Draft. Not someone that I'm, you know, jonesing to play here on Fantasy Draft. He's 7-6 on FanDuel and 8K on DraftKings. I think I like that price more on FanDuel than anything else. But there's a little bit of meat left on the bone here. Like you can see against Indy, put a play 35 minutes, had those 4 steals, 1 block, put up 60 fantasy points. We could see something like that again for Drummond. So he's got to be on your radar in this game. We talked about Garland being out, so Kevin Porter Jr. at 9-9. He's definitely going to be in play here. He's 4-9 on FanDuel, 4-9 on DraftKings. He's a guy that you're going to have to look at for value-wise. I still think favorite play on the slate here on Cleveland's more Drummond, but the second favorite would be Porter Jr. You know, if you want to, on the Utah side, all these guys are kind of at a price I don't really have to pay them. You can attack Cleveland any way you want to. So Donovan Mitchell's fine. If you want to look, Bogdanovich, Conley, Clarkson, you know, Clarkson, he did come from Cleveland if you want to play that angle of anything. But no one that's just in a must spot. You know, Gobert 14-3 if you want to run it back with him over Drummond. He's fine. But it's not the best matchup for the Cleveland guys, but on Utah, again, you can smash Cleveland by the guard. So if Conley's going to get the start again and he's 10-3, you know, put up 33 and 28 in his last two games. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Candidate. Thanks, man. Finally, I'm in live. Good to have you. I really appreciate it. So yeah, that's where I'd really go. Look at the guards for Utah and then Drummond or Porter Jr. on the Cleveland side of the ball. Not a real sexy game here. Not one that I'm looking to target a ton of at all. It'd just be a couple select plays. Let's head on over to Houston going against the Knicks, heading into the Garden. This game should be a fun game here. It's 229.5 over under. Houston's favored by 9. Again, on Houston side, it's the same old show. It's Harden and Westbrook. I think you can play either one of them. Westbrook's been getting some really good run, really good points. The last couple games here, he's put up 62-62. I kind of feel like this is more of a Harden game than it is a Westbrook game. They're $700 apart here on Fantasy Draft. Again, I think you're just kind of splitting hairs at this point between the two of them, but I lean Harden a little bit more than Westbrook, but either one of them. Robert Covington at 12K. He's been pretty consistent since coming over to Houston, began a lot of run. I think his price over on FanDuel is 6,200, DraftKings 6,200. So he's a fair play. There's not a ton of meat left on the bone there, but I mean, last game against Boston, he put up 46. So he can spike some of those big outings. So definitely in play. I don't really like anyone else on Houston. It's basically those three guys. I don't really like playing Eric Gordon unless Westbrook or those guys are out. And then looking at, you know, House, they're just all, you know, secondary and tertiary plays that I don't really want to attack too much. On the New York side of the ball, to me, it's basically Elf and Randall. Mitch Robb, the problem is if Houston goes small, and maybe Robinson don't get that much run. But he's put up some big games over the last five. He put up 46 against Chicago. Had kind of a turd game against Philly at 27, but in Charlotte and 44. And then last game they played Houston, he did play 25 minutes. Had a lot of blocks and steals. Again, he's going to get a lot of chance to block because Westbrook's going to keep trying to take it to the rim. Put up 36, and you'll take that out of 10-8 here on Fantasy Draft. Let's look at his price over on FanDuel and DraftKings. 6,200 FanDuel, 5,500 DraftKings. Those are both reasonable prices and someone that I think you could look at in tournaments. Not someone I think I would go in cash games. But he's definitely trending up. Elf Payton at 12.6 though. No problem there. I think he's got 40-point upside all day long. Same with Randall. I mean, it's basically, if you look at it here on Fantasy Draft, you're just basically looking at these top six guys in price. There's no one down here that I'd even remotely look at playing. Your value is going to be more on the Spurs side and then maybe the Mavericks later here once we get some more news. So I would just look at those guys. Again, I think Elf and Randall are both cash viable. And then Mitch Robb would be your one GPP piece that I wouldn't really recommend playing in cash, but you can play in tournaments. If you want to look at the – I have a hard time playing RJ Barrett when Elf plays just because – Elf handles the ball so much, and it kind of hurts some of Barrett's upside. So, yeah, man, let's head on the next game. Trailblazers at the Magic. We talked about Lillard being out already. So this game just sitting at 221.5 over under, and Orlando's favored by 7.5. Again, with no Lillard, we're just going to plug in McCollum. He's just been so consistent. Gets all the minutes in the world. 38, 38, 37, 43, 37. Put up 53, 43, 55, 76, 50. You just start your cash games with him, and I would start a majority of my tournament lineups with him. He's just going to keep it rolling here. Whiteside at 17.6 is a little expensive. When he's more expensive than McCollum, I don't really care for that too much. Definitely in play in tournaments, but not would be a cash play. He's 9.5 on FanDuel and 9.6 on DraftKings, respectively. I think I would just keep him more of the tournament. I would much rather go down here to Vooch at 15.7 in tournaments. There's way more upside for here. You know, if Vooch steps out, hits those mid-range jump shots, Whiteside is just too damn slow. And if Whiteside tries to close out, Vooch will just go right around him. Aaron Gordon's been having some massive games. He did lay an egg, I think we talked about it a little bit. And the last time we did notes that it was time to get off the Gordon train there. But, I mean, before last game, he put up 55, 57, 53, 42, 55. And the minutes have been massive. 35, 41, 40, 41. I have no problem going right back to Aaron Gordon here. Into 15-7. I would not play Gordon and Vooch in the same lineup, but you can play either one of them. Yeah, definitely some upside. Carmelo Anthony, 11-5. He's been so hit or miss. A lot of miss lately. Even Atlanta, it was very surprising he only put up 21 fantasy points against Atlanta in 36 minutes. The minutes have been there, 36, 36, 34. You know, it's just he just hasn't been getting it done. Get guys like Gary Trent Jr. Put up 14, 30, 15 minutes are there. But I think you're basically looking at McCollum here, maybe Melo. Ariza's 8-9. Again, he's kind of all over the place, but playing massive minutes, 37, 37, 37. Stotts is just letting these guys roll. And, you know, with 107 applied team total for Portland, someone's got to score these points besides McCollum. So I have no problem going to Anthony here, no problem going to Ariza. I really wouldn't look at too many other people from the Portland side. Like I said, Whiteside, but just in tournaments at that price, I wouldn't play him in cash games at all. You know, Gary Trent Jr., 8,200 if you want to look in tournaments. That's kind of cheap. On the Orlando side, though, like I said, it's basically Vooch and Gordon for me. James Enos, I looked up his game log the other day. He's like, yeah, his minutes are definitely turning up since going to Orlando. Excuse me. 28, 19, 19, 22, 7,500. There's just other better value on this slate. But to me, it's not an Evan Fournier kind of matchup here. I don't mind if you want to take a chance on Fultz at 10-4 is kind of cheap. 17 fantasy points against the Spurs, but against Minnesota, put 28-28. At 10-4, you're looking for about 30 fantasy points. He spiked a few big games, but with DJ Augustin back, you know, backing him up, and the minutes just not being massive, it's more just of a tournament play. But the matchup, you know, combo guards against Portland, you can definitely look there. Thanks, Kanger. You too, man. We had some nice wins yesterday. It was a fun Sunday for sure. Really enjoyed it. Let's head on over to the Bucks and the Heat. This should be a real fun game to watch. You know, two of the best teams in the East here going at it. Like we said, we got to watch out for Middleton. If Middleton sits, I want some Giannis. I think he's just going to continue to do things. You know, yes, Butler's on that team, but it's just Giannis is going to do everything. Bledsoe had a really ho-hum, crappy kind of game. Put up 8 fantasy points in 22 minutes against Charlotte. That's pretty pathetic. So 12-5, he's going to be extremely low-owned. It's not a great matchup for him. But if Middleton sits, you're going to look at him in some tournaments. Jimmy Butler, 13-6, is just way too cheap on the other side of the ball in Miami. No problem going there. It's way too cheap for Jimmy. And if they want to kind of show, it's in Miami. It's a home game for them. And if they kind of want to, you know, this game is 226.5 over-under, and Milwaukee's favored by 4. So I just kind of think that Middleton's going to sit. DiVincenzo would get the start again. He's 8-4. No problem playing him. He played 19 minutes. I'm sorry. They don't have the new game logs up. That's OKC. He played 19 minutes. He played actual yesterday. Pull him up real quick. He played 27 minutes start and had 19 fantasy points. And then back to Bledsoe. He played 22 minutes against Charlotte. Yeah, and 8 fantasy points. So yeah, it was all Giannis last night against Charlotte. It was an early game. Wasn't on the main slate. Dragic, you can look at. Still coming off the bench. No Hero. You know, none starting. But at 10-6, he's had some really good games. Really like this price tag here on Fantasy Draft. Really like on FanDuel and DraftKings. 5,300 on FanDuel. 5,500 on DraftKings. He's played 32, 32, 26, 34 minutes over his last four with 40, 30, 28, 36 fantasy points. You'll take that all day long at this price point. And again, in this matchup, I'm not too worried about it. I don't mind playing him, especially in that second unit. One guy I do like is George Hill at 7,800 if Middleton doesn't play. He played... How many minutes he played? Yes. He played 25 minutes off the bench against Charlotte, had 23 fantasy points. He's 3,500 on FanDuel, min salary, 4K on DraftKings. You love him to get that. There's, you know, he's had some big games before. Even against OKC, you know, he put up 31 in 19 minutes. But those minutes are going to be more solidified if we don't get Middleton. So George Hill's definitely a play that I'd rather go overweight on. If we do not get any Middleton here. So that's about it for me on the Milwaukee side. It's if Middleton sits, it's Bledsoe, Hill, DiVincenzo, and all the Middleton I can, I'm sorry, Giannis I can get. And then on Miami, yeah, I mean, it's Butler at 13-6. Bam at 15-4 is a little expensive. I don't really like playing Bam when Jimmy's around. It kind of hurts his upside. So it's a little too expensive for me. And then this next game we're going to talk about has just all kinds of fancy goodness. And I don't really want to dig too heavily into this Milwaukee Miami game. I just think you just play the studs here. You know, Jay Crowder at 9-6, you know, the minutes are there, but the production hasn't been just crushing. But you know, maybe he sees a little bit more time to try to slow down Giannis himself. So, be a deep GPP play, but that would be about it. Let's move over to the Grizzlies at the Hawks. Two of the fastest-paced teams in the league here. Massive total, 339, and a close spread. Milwaukee favored by 1.5. This is where you are going to want your plays to be at. Joval, 12-5 against Atlanta front court. Way too cheap. Way too cheap across the industry today. He's 6'8 on DraftKings, 7'2 on FanDuel. Has some monster games the last two, playing 30 minutes, 32 minutes, putting up 51 and 49 fantasy points respectively. He'll probably be one of the chalkier centers on the slate, but that's just too cheap for him in this matchup. It really is. Again, John Morant, this is where I don't mind playing Young or John Morant. John Morant 13-4. We've seen a couple times he disappeared, but he's picked it right back up. I don't know if you saw the interview on him after last game, but he was like thanking some Twitter for basically just calling him out. He disappeared, and he put up 59 against the Lakers, 41 against the Kings, 30 against Houston at 13-4. No problem running him against Atlanta. Like I said, this is a game you're going to want to stack up. Trae Young and matchups like this, you can attack all day long, Memphis. Again, it's just stack this game up each way. We talked about Reddish a little bit. If Reddish does sit, we're going to be looking for Hunter. Hunter is 9-9, put up 30. 37, 15, 33, 30, 30. He only had that one stinker against Orlando. But he's playing massive minutes, 38, 32, 35, 39 minutes. And at 9-9, he's just extremely cheap here. Really want to have over the field on Hunter in this matchup. He is 46 on FanDuel, way too cheap. 5K on DraftKings, it's a little closer to the point. I don't have to play him, but on FanDuel at 46, way too cheap. $15 on Yahoo, like I said, 9-9 on Fantasy Draft here, you know, which is more towards that 30 point which you're looking for, but there's still some meat left on the bone with him. And like I said, Kevin Huerter, 11K, he's still in play, playing big minutes, put up 45 against Portland, 28, 21, 25. If Reddish is out, again, it just solidifies the more minutes for those guys. So, hopefully he's out, and then that usage can go to those three guys. But those are the main three guys I would look at. I know this front court is kind of beat up with no Capella, no Dedmon. Bruno Fernando, I have a hard time playing him at 7-1. John Collins at 15-9. Again, no problem just stacking this game up any way you want to. He should be able to do what he wants to against Memphis. But, this is definitely the game stack of the night. And it's going to be extremely popular just because the over-under on this game is way, way above anything else. And I think this is going to be one of the more popular games. And, I don't see a big pivot unless you think the Knicks stay close to Houston. It's really hard to get off this game because there's not one around it that I really, really absolutely love. We talked about how Memphis is a little beat up with Jaren Jackson and Clark being out. Dang it, 10-1, it just doesn't excite me that much. He hasn't really done anything in this few minutes he's been getting, so he's not really in play. Josh Jackson, 8,900. I don't mind taking a few shots on him just because in these matchups that get up and down, that move, that are extremely fast-paced, that's his game. His game's in transition. Just a GPP play. You can't play him in tournaments. If we go over and look at, see how much he is over on FanDuel and DraftKings, he's 3,900 on FanDuel, 4,400 on DraftKings. Again, tournament only, but he will definitely be in my pool. I don't really want to take a shot on Teague or Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones is 6'2", though, if you're looking for a real cheap guy. Saw 20 minutes, put up 18. It's not going to win any tournaments. But if you're looking for a small six, piece here, again, I think that until we know the news, what's going to happen for the Spurs and the Mavericks, that's where the value is going to be. So I don't want to get too crazy around here. But that's about it for this game. Again, stack this game up. Brooks is in play at 10-2. He said Herter, all these guys are on the top end. And there's not a whole ton of value except for, like I said, Josh Jackson and then maybe a Tyus Jones. But that's about it. I wouldn't look too many other places as long as everybody's healthy on this team. Let's head on over to the Mavericks and the Bulls. This game is a 224 with Dallas favored by 3. Now, that tells me that one of these dudes is sitting. If both Porzingis and Luka Doncic were healthy, there's no way that Dallas would only be favored by 3 points in this game at all. Like I said, Porzingis has been sitting out in back-to-backs, and maybe why they rested Luka last game. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did rest Porzingis, but it basically is you just play whoever's going to play. With that line only being, 3.5-point favorites, that tells me one of these guys is definitely sitting. Hell, they might both be sitting for all I know. But we're going to have to be checking this news out. I would say more the unicorn's going to sit over Luka. But again, if they both sat, the value is going to be insane. Seth Curry would be almost a must play if they both sat. 11-8. Put a 46 against Miami. It's just tons of value. Seth Curry, Tim Hardaway, DeLon Wright, Maxi Kleber, Finney Smith, J.J. Barea. All just in play here if those guys are out. So, again, we got to check news. Make sure you check the notes tonight. Make sure you check the news channel. It's going to be extremely important tonight. It sucks this game's an hour after lock, so we might not know, but I really hope we know. But this might be another situation like we kind of talked about last night when we didn't know what AD was going to do. And, I mentioned in the notes that not knowing how AD is going to be in or out, that's how you get edge on FanDuel. The slate's going to lock. People aren't going to want to take those chances. Go heavy on the guys like Porzingis is out or like Luka's out. Go heavy on those other guys. We got Kuzma at 5% on FanDuel yesterday. Put up 30 fantasy points. So those are the chances you got to take, and we'll try to lead you in the right direction over at DFS Army. So, again, head on over there and sign up. Get that information. So, again, could be a ton of value on Dallas.
that line looks real fishy, that one of them's going to sit, if not both of them. But plug and play whoever's going to play. I mean, they're just kind of must plays at this point, especially against Chicago, who's horrendous on defense. So on the Chicago side of the ball, you know, if Levine plays, 15-6, a little expensive for me. Kobe White should play. He's probable. He's been absolutely on fire. Put 34, 50, 49, 42. Minutes have been up in the, you know, low 30s, high 20s. He's just a guy that's going to get it done. Have a lot of love for him. Thad Young. With Gafford back, it kind of hurts these guys. I'm sorry, not Gafford, but Carter Jr. Carter Jr. is probably going to start again. I think he only saw 18 minutes, in that first game back. Said he's a little bit winded, so we got to see those minutes if they're going to climb at all, because even though he's a little expensive, 10-8 here over here on Fantasy Draft, he's only 3-6 on FanDuel and 5-5 on DraftKings. So FanDuel's the place I want to play Carter Jr. If he's going to, say, get a 25-minute cap on him, he can really get there. So he would be almost a must-play for me at that price. Even though we have Joe Valhart center on FanDuel, it's just way too cheap for him if he's going to get the minutes. Satoransky's still in play. Porter Jr. could throw a wrench into things. You know, if he does come back, it's going to kind of screw up the usage across the board here for the Bulls. And so, for me, I would just kind of look at, you know, maybe playing the guards and then, like I said, Wendell Carter Jr. over on FanDuel. But don't really have any love for him over here on Fantasy Draft. They're all kind of priced up. So, it's either Luka or Porzingis on one side, and then the other, probably just looking at Kobe White as the one guy I want the most of, just with the upside that he brings. Let's head on over to the nightcap here. 8:30 p.m. Eastern time this game starts. The good thing is I think we basically know that LaMarcus Aldridge is not going to play. You know, he's doubtful. We know that Pirtle's out. And so Trey Lyles, it's going to be chalk Trey Lyles. He saw 39 minutes against Orlando, put up 44 fantasy points. I don't think he puts up 44 fantasy points here again. I really don't. However, I think he's going to see 35 minutes, and at 9,500, I have no problem playing him there. I like the prices better on FanDuel and DraftKings at 4,300 and 4,800. It's going to be extremely chalky, but I also think that he's a type that would play regardless of what's going to happen this game. It's a close spread. It's a 221 over under, and the Indy's favored by 2. So, you know, DeRozan at 13-6, he's going to pick up the scoring load here. It's a tough matchup, but at 13-6, still think that there's some meat left on the bone to go at it. Sabonis should be able to dominate anybody here. You know, Lyles, like I said, they're going to play some Eubanks here as well. I think Eubanks is the men's salary. He's probably going to see 20, 25 minutes. They're just so short. He saw 16 up against Orlando, but I think he's going to see closer to the 20-minute mark. He put up 13.25 fantasy points there, 10.3 rebounds. I wouldn't expect a bunch out of him, but if you're looking for a 6K crapper, it definitely would be Eubanks here. And then, again, it's Rudy Gay. I think he would be the one guy that 8-3 is way too cheap for him. He's going to be close to 30 minutes. He's been about a fantasy point per minute over his last, for this season. Over the last 2 weeks, he's been about 1.14. If you're going to get 30 minutes out of Rudy Gay, he put up 39 fantasy points in Orlando in 29 minutes. We can see something similar here. So, okay, so guys like Gay, we talked about Lyles, they're going to be extremely popular. Again, if you're playing cash games, just lock both of them in. But then Gay would be the one that I'd be a little less on than Lyles, just because I think that they would, if something got out of control or something happened, even though it's a close spread, I'm not saying bet on that, but if I was going to be off one guy, I would rather get off of Gay than I would of Lyles. And then, like I said, Eubanks. Eubanks is just more of a GPP flyer. But on like the Indy side of the ball, You know, they should. Sabonis should be able to dominate these front court guys. He'll do whatever he wants to. 16-1, even though he's pretty expensive, I definitely want some of him here. Again, he's going to do whatever he wants to. TJ Warren, 11-8. Again, with Lamb out for the season, I think TJ Warren's scoring is going to go a little bit up there. I can't buy into Oladipo, 11-3. I just can't do it. His minutes, you know, 28, 25, 25, 28. Put up 31, 27, 11, 21. Maybe this is a game where it actually has a ceiling game. I would just do it in tournaments. I can't trust that in cash games at all. And Patty Mills, another guy. Really interesting here at 6K. He brings that instant offense off the bench. And maybe they need a little bit of that here. Where, you know, he could probably see maybe mid-20s minutes. And he's been about a 0.73 fantasy point per minute over the last couple weeks. But, it's, you know, Gay's been the guy that's been one of the higher fantasy point per minute players. He's actually very close to DeMar DeRozan over the last few weeks. So I don't mind if you take three Spurs here. We have enough value on the slate. Again, the value is the front court. It's something that we kind of know already, so it's going to be – we're not waiting on it like we do the Mavericks. Hopefully we have some of the news for the Mavericks that pans out a little bit. But that's where I look to go. Again, I look more on the Spurs side. You know, don't forget about the Indy side, but it's basically Sabonis and Warren for me. I don't have a whole lot of interest in Turner, but if you want to go there, I just can never get that guy right. But again, they're going to be so small. They should be able to do what they want to here. So if you want to take a shot on Turner, been pretty consistent over the last three games, 32, 33, 42 fantasy points at 10.1K. You'll take that. Over on FanDuel, he's 5,800 on DraftKings. He's 5,200. So, yeah, that's what we're looking at. Head back on over here and see if we got any questions. All right. I gotta change that background. So, yeah, again, 7-game slate, massive slate. We're going to get after it again today. Really are. Like this slate. I think there's value. I love that the last game kicks off at 8:30, so we're not have to wait for the West Coast games to kick off. But again, been on a hell of a run on NBA the last 3 days or so. Yeah, Kanger, I'm on notes on DraftKings today, buddy. So, nice run of NBA. Like I said, 200K winner, $25,000 winner. Last night, you know, we had a 20K winner, 12K, 8K. We just been going after Healy. Yeah, fourth place, not good enough. Yeah, man, I'm just trying to get up to your shoes, Healy. I can't hit these massive tournaments like you do, and I'm pretty scared once baseball gets here and you start hitting all them damn monsters again, man. Well, yeah, good slate, man. Again, pay attention to the news. Dallas is going to dictate this slate with those two studs. That's the biggest part. That's going to, you know, figure out how line of construction is going to go and everything else. So appreciate every one of you guys. Let's get after it. Let's win some money. Deuces.